So we saw the Gemara yesterday. The Gemara says that even though in the Mishnah it says you have to have benefit from the candle, but the Gemara says it doesn't mean that you practically have to have hana. Rather, it has to be the type of flame that you could, in theory, get hana were you only to stand close. The problem was the Gemara asked Akasha. There is a brisa that talks about a flame that you could see, but you're not having benefit from, and it says you cannot make a bracha on that. So what does that mean, you're not having benefit from it? Have a look at the Gemara on the first wide line, towards the end of the first wide line. Elo, ro'o shalheves v'loi nishtamesh lo'iro. Seeing the flame but not using it. And it says in the brisa you can't make a bracha. So what does that mean? Heichi mishkachas lo. How can you have such a case? Doesn't it mean lav de merchako? Question mark. Doesn't it mean that you're standing far? That's why, although technically, yes, you can see the flame, but you're not actually using it. And it says quite clearly that you cannot make a bracha on it. That seems to be an absolute steer to what we said before. Before we said that even if you're standing far from the flame, it doesn't matter. Even though practically you're not having any benefit from it, but by virtue of the fact that the flame itself is bright enough to give benefit were you to be standing close, and that's good enough. So why does this brisa say that if you're not using the flame, you can't make a bracha? Says the Gemara, no, loy, you made a mistake. We're not talking about that you're standing far from the flame, and that's the problem. That's not the problem. Standing far from the flame is not an issue at all. You would be allowed to make a bracha. So what is the issue over here? Kagoin da amye va'ozlo. If I'm not mistaken, Amya Va'ozla means the flame is flickering. Is that how they translate it in the English?
Progressively dimmer.
growing progressively dimmer.
Right, it's flickering, it's growing dim. In other words, the problem is not that you're standing far, because we've already established. If you're standing far, that's not a problem. By the way, this is a very, very important halacha, halacha l'maisa. Sometimes you have, for example, a whole group of people. Imagine you're in a yeshiva. I remember when I was in yeshiva, 300 bochrim, and they make havdalah in the candle in the middle of the Beis HaMedrash. Now, obviously, if you're standing at the other end of the Beis HaMedrash, you cannot practically have benefit from that flame. So why are you yotzei? So the answer is because at least the flame itself is bright enough to give benefit, at least to those standing close. Whereas where it gets progressively dimmer, in other words, you're talking about a flame which the reason why you can't have benefit is not because you're standing far, that's not a problem, but rather because it's just dimming, it's waning out, it's phasing out. That's the type of flame, indeed, that you cannot make a bracha. But if it's a proper solid flame, even if you're standing far, you are allowed to make a bracha over that. Says the Gemara on the third wide line, Tana Rabbanan, Gecholim Loi Chashos. If you have charcoal, Loi Chashos, which are still burning, Mevorachin Aleihen, you can make a bracha over them. But Oy Mamois, Ein Mevorachim Aleihen. How do they translate Oy Mamois?
Dimming coals.
Dimming coals, as we said before, similar to the Ami. If it's dimming coals, so therefore they might technically have a light to them, but you can't really actually have any benefit from it, and therefore you cannot make a bracha over them. Says the Gemara, Hei chidomi loy chashois. What's the definition of loy chashois? That it's not just a dimming charcoal, but it really is a charcoal which is a light. What's the definition? Omar of Chista, Kol she'ilu machnes letoichon kisam. If it's bright enough that were you to touch the coals with some sort of small stick, v'doylekes mo'eleho, and it would become a light, then clearly that's hot enough and bright enough to be considered a flame. Whereas if you've got a charcoal, which may well have been hot at the time, but now it's on its way out, so if you would touch it with a small piece of paper or stick, it would not ignite. Iboiluhu, says the Gemara, just a technical point. When we talk about waning charcoal, we call it oimamois. How do you spell that word? Oimamois with an aleph, or oimamois with an ayin? Toshema, the Omer of Chisti, Omer of Dimi, it says a pasuk in Yechezkel, it says, Arozim loy amamuhu. began Elohim. So you see from the pasuk that it's spelt with an ayin, not with an aleph. Says the Gemara, V'rova Omar Ye'oisoi Mamish. So Rava is going back to the beginning of the Gemara. The top line of the Gemara, it says in the name of Rabbi Yehuda Omar Rav, that you do not need to have benefit from the candle. It just needs to be bright enough to give benefit were you to be standing close. But Rava disagrees. V'rova Omar, no. Ye'oisoi Mamish. You've literally got to have benefit from the flame, not just that it could in theory give you benefit, but you practically got to have benefit from it, otherwise you can't make a bracha. What does that mean, benefit, says the Gemara of a Kamo? How much benefit is benefit? What must you be able to do by the light of the candle in order to say that that's considered benefit? Says the Gemara, Amaula Kedei Sheyakir, it's got to be bright enough that you could be able to recognize Bain Isser Lepundian. Isser and Pundian are two different types of coins. And obviously, to be able to discern the difference, you've got to have a certain brightness of flame. So it's got to be bright enough that you'd be able to discern between the Isser coin and the Pindian coin. Chizkia Omar, slightly different. Kadesha Yakir, it's got to be bright enough that you could be able to discern the difference between Miluzma Shol Tveria and Miluzma Shol Tzipori. Miluzma, they translated the coin. Rashi says Miluzma is a mishkal or a matbea, a coin. So Tveria have a coin, Tzipori have a coin. They clearly are quite similar. In order to be able to discern the difference, the flame certainly has to have a certain brightness. Says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Mevorech Adbe Ada Daila. Remember, Rav Yehuda, look at the very top line of the Gemara. It's actually the second line. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav. Remember, Rav Yehuda was the one who said that you can make a bracha on a flame even if you're standing far from it. Rava was the one who disagreed, and Rava said, no, you've got to be standing close, so close, so that you'd be able to discern the difference between two different coins. But Rav Yehuda says not that way. So, says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda, in fact, did exactly that. Because says the Gemara, Rav Yehuda Mavarech, Rav Yehuda would be perfectly happy to make a bracha adbe adadaylia, on the house of adadaylia. Says Rashi, Rav Yehuda hoya mevorech al oir shebeis adadaylia. Rav Yehuda would make a bracha over the oir that was coming from the house of adadaylia, verochik mi beisoi, even though it was far from his home. Nonetheless, hoya Rav Yehuda letamei. But Rav Yehuda is following his own reasoning that what? Deloi boi somuch. That you do not need, it's not required to be standing close. In other words, he personally did not have a nair. So he could see the nair coming through, let's say, the window of the neighbors. So he made a bracha on that nair, even though he's definitely not standing close to that flame. The flame is not close to him. To the contrary, it's in the neighbor's apartments or different house. The answer is yes, but Rav Yehuda Lishitosai holds that you do not need to be close. As long as the flame is bright enough that were you only to be standing close, you could have benefit, and that's good enough. Says the Gemara again, Rav Yehuda Mavarech Adabe Adadaylia. Rav Yehuda would make a bracha on the flame coming from somebody's flame in a different house, even though it was far. But Rava, remember, Rava was one who said that you've got to be standing close. So Rava says the Gemara, Rava Mavorech Adabe Guria Bar Chamo. What's Adabe Guria Bar Chamo? Rashi says, Samoch Lebesoi. This indeed was close to his home. Why was Rava particular to make a bracha only on a flame which was close to his home? The answer is because that is Rava's opinion. Says Rashi, Rava l'ta'ame. That's Rava following his reasoning. Domar samuch bo'inon. So again, if I can see my neighbor, you live on Nachal Luz, and you can see across the road, or you live in Nachal Revivim, and you can see through Binyamin Freilich's door, you can see his candle. Can you make a bracha on that?
I can.
Oh, so therefore, certainly if, for example, you're in Revivim number 10 ground floor, then you could not benefit from the candle from across the road, but you can certainly see it. So Rav Yehuda would tell you, yes, you can make a bracha on it. Rava would say, no, 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 you can't. You're not close enough. You would not be able to discern the difference between two similar coins if the flame was across the road, unless it was very, very close to you. Says the Gemara, Abaya mevorech ad bei baravuha. Abaya used to make a bracha on also ad bei aravuha. Omer Rav Yud Omer Rav, ein mechazrin al ha'oir kederech shemechazrin al ha'mitzvah. Very, very, very big chiddush. And by the way, we passed like this la'alocha. Ein mechazrin means you do not need to go in search of. Comes Motzeh Shabbos, and you have to make a bracha on a ner. Problem is, I don't have a ner. So what's the extent of my chiyuv? How much do I have to go in search in order to go and find a candle to make a bracha on? And the answer is you're not mukhiv. If you have a candle, great. If not, then not. This is, of course, unlike other mitzvahs. If it comes to Seder night and I don't happen to have a matzah, obviously I've got to make every effort to get hold of a matzah. The mitzvah is not eat a matzah if you happen to have one at hand. Whereas the bracha on the neir on Motzeh Shabbos is indeed just that. Look at Rashi. Ein mechazrin al ha'oir. Why? Because im ein loy oir, ein tzorich lachzer acharov. If you don't have a candle, you do not need to go in search of it. So when Chazal were initially mesakein the chiyuv to make a bracha on Motzeh Shabbos on neir, they were not misaking it with all the stringencies of other mitzvahs, and therefore it's only if you happen to have one at hand. Now, obviously, every Jewish house has a candle for Motzeh Shabbos, but technically speaking, if you would go on vacation and you forget to take your candle with and you don't have any way of getting hold of a candle, unless you'd be very hard pushed, you'd have to drive 10 minutes to the local makolet to get one, technically speaking, you are not mechuyev to do so. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Zeira, Meireish, in the beginning, have a mahadrano. I used to make every effort. I used to go running around looking for a candle. But kiven the shomano lahod Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. But now that I've heard what Rav Yehuda Amar Rav has to teach us, that what? That you're not actually mukhuyev to go in search of it, is ano nami, if I too loy mahadrano. If also I don't need to go looking for the candle, elo e miklali memela. Rather, if I happen to chance upon a candle, I happen to have one, then mevorichna, then I'll make a bracha. So he's clearly telling you that yes, I concur, I agree with the psak of Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, albeit initially I didn't realize that was the case. And therefore, initially, if ever I didn't have a candle, I made every effort to go and get hold of one. But since hearing Rav Yehuda Amar Rav's psak, I don't do that anymore. Rather, if I happen to have one, I make a bracha. And if not, I don't need to put myself out to go and make a bracha on a candle. Okay, says the Gemara, Misha Ochal, Oma Rav Zvid. Now, if you remember, we had a Mishnah, a machloikas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. We're now switching topic completely. If you ate and then you moved location and you need to bench, must you go back or you do not need to go back to your original location? This is a very, very common shayla. I've had it a number of times. People come to Kollel in the morning. They've had a breakfast, a bread-based breakfast. And all of a sudden they realize, oh, 1 second, I forgot to bench. So the question is, are they mechuyev to go home and bench there? Or do you say, no, once you're here, you're here. So the Mishnah actually said, it's a machloikas between Beis Hillel and Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai said, yes, you've got to go back to your original location. And Beis Hillel says that, no, you don't. Wherever you find yourself now, that's where you make a bracha. That's the machlekes. Says the Gemara, Misha Ochal. Omer Rav Zvid, the Itamer Rav Dimi Barabba. Rav Zvid said, or some say it wasn't Rav Zvid, it was Rav Dimi. Machloikas is only b'shochach. The whole machloikas to be Selel and Beis Shammai, whether you are or not required to go back to your original place, that only refers to a case where you accidentally forgot and you left your original place. So if you forgot, then there's a machloikas. Avol b'meizid. But if you left your place deliberately, what does that mean deliberately? It doesn't mean he's a Rasha, but rather it means he left it with view to benching in a different location, then I'm sorry, dibur divrei hakoil yachzir lemakoymoi v'yivarech. Then you do have to go back. So if you left the house without thinking and you've arrived in shul and you suddenly remembered that you haven't made Birkas Hamazon on your breakfast sandwiches, that's when Beis Hillel says, fine, we'll let you off the hook and you do not need to go back. If, however, you deliberately left your home with intent to bench elsewhere, so that's not shochach, that's not a mistake, then even Beis Hillel would have to agree, you've got to go back. Says the Gemara, I don't understand. What are you telling me? That's not a chiddush. It's the most obvious thing in the world. Why? Says the Gemara, pshita, it's obvious. V'shochach, quote unquote, tanan. If you look at the Mishnah says quite clearly, v'shochach. It says we're talking about that he forgot. So why are you telling me as if it's some sort of chiddush you should know? We're only talking about when you forgot. Of course, the Mishnah says v'shochach. Obviously, it's only talking about when you forgot. Says the Gemara, no. Mahu detema, because I would have been excused for thinking that hu adi nafid b'meizid. Maybe the same would actually apply even if it was b'meizid and you deliberately left place number one in order to bench in place number two. V'hai d'ktoni v'shochach, quote unquote, and that which the Mishnah says v'shochach is lohidiyacha. Maybe the reason why the Mishnah picked on a case of Shochach is not to suggest that Mezid would be different, but maybe the reason why the Mishnah picked on a case of a Shochach is to teach you how far Beis Shammai go. But even if it's Shochach, the same would apply by the Mezid. But even if it's Shochach, Beis Shammai would still require you to go back to the original place. But don't be medayek from there that were it to be mazid, the halacha would change. That's how I could have learned the Mishnah. That's why I need the Gemara to tell you that no, it's only in the case of Shochach that Beis Hillel say that you don't need to go back. Were it to be the mazid, everybody would agree you've got to go back. Says the Gemara, Tanya, we've learned in a braisa, Omar Lohem Beis Hillel Beis Shammai. So Beis Hillel now retort to Beis Shammai. Remember, Beis Shammai is the one who tells you that you have to go back. Says Beis Hillel to Beis Shammai, one second, how far are you taking this? Ledivreichem, according to your words, meaning according to your opinion, that you require this person to go back. So are you trying to tell me that me, she'ochal b'roish habira, if somebody ate at the top of a building or tower, the shochach, the yorad, and then he went back, he forgot, and he went all the way down. He's on the top of the Empire State Building, and he goes all the way back to ground level. V'loy birech, are you trying to tell me that yachzer l'roish habiro, he's got to go all the way back 150 flights of stairs via vorech? That sounds to me very exaggerated. Omru lohen Beis Shammai leBeis Hillel. So Beis Shammai retorted and they said, one second. Ledivreichem. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to throw the question back at you. You're telling me that what? That you do not need to go back. So let me ask you a question. Misha shochach aronaki. Aronaki is a wallet. If somebody forgot his wallet, Beroy Shabira at the top of the tower, Loi yale v'yitleno, question mark? Will he not go back up 150 flights of stairs to go and fetch his wallet? You're telling me that, oh, it can't be that you're going to be mechayev him to go back up 100 flights of stairs. Excuse me, if somebody lost their wallet on the top floor with $1,000 in it and he got back down to ground level, would he not go back to fetch it? If so, lichvoid atzmoi hu oile. For his own personal covered, meaning his money, he would go back up to the top of the tower. Lichvoid shomayim loikol shekein. He'd be happy to strep up 100 flights of stairs to get his money back. Not so in order to mechabad HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, he does have to go back, says Beis Shammai. Says the Gemara, Hanu Trei Talmidei. There were two Talmidei Chachamim. Chad Ovid B'Shoigeig K'Beis Shammai. Listen to this amazing story. One of them, they followed the Psak of Beis Shammai, even though it was B'Shoigeig. Meaning, he forgot by accident, and he went from place to place. Now, what's the halacha? So Beis Hillel would say, fine, if it's shochach, you do not need to go back. But he was machmeh on himself. And he followed the psak of Beis Shammai. So he was machmeh. He was not mechuyev to be machmeh, but he was. So guess what happened to him? He went back to his original place, the Ashkoch Arnaka de Dahava. And he found the wallet of gold. So you see that Shammai's moshel was not just a moshel, it actually came true. Somebody went back all the way to his original location to bench, and guess what? He was rewarded richly. On the other hand, v'chad ovid b'mezid k'beis hillel. There was one person who was oike his mokim. He went from place to place, b'mezid. Now, we said before, then if you go b'mezid from place to place, then everybody would agree you've got to go back, even Beis Hillel. And yet, what did he do? He said, even though I've left my original place b'mezid, but I'm following the psak of Beis Hillel, which means that what? I'm allowed to bench right here, which is, of course, a terrible mistake. Why is it a mistake? Because if you really left your initial place b'mezid, we said before that even Beis Hillel would agree you've got to go back. So he made a mistake, and guess what happened to him? V'ochloi arie, a lion ate him up. So next time you need to bench, you'd be well advised to consider very carefully where you bench. L'chatchila, obviously you should always bench in the place you eat. Says the Gemara, Rabba babachano have a ko'ozil b'shayorta. He was traveling with a whole group. Ochal, he ate the ishtali, and he forgot the loy birech, and he didn't bench, and now the group has traveled on. And he all of a sudden finds himself in a brand new location, remembering that he's eaten somewhere else. Now he forgot. So if he forgot, what will be the halacha? Yes, according to Beis Shammai, he'd have to go back. But if you paskin like Beis Hillel, then he'd be allowed to bench in the place that he remembers. So now he said, one second, I'm a little bit stuck. Why am I stuck? Omar, he said, Heichi a'avid, what should I do? I amin alohu, if I tell them, Anshoi levarech, if I tell them that I forgot to bench, Omri li, what will they tell me? Borech hocha. Kol heicha demavorchet l'rachmana nebirchat mutav. Mevorchet. Wherever you bench, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is okay. Meaning, if I tell my people accompanying me, listen, I'm terribly sorry, but I've forgotten to bench in the original location. So probably they're just going to respond, well, you can bench here because wherever you bench to HaKadosh Baruch Hu is okay. But I really would like to go back. I'm not mechuyev to go back, but I'd like to go back. Remember we saw in the previous story, somebody was machmeh and he was very handsomely rewarded. So technically he could paskin like Beis Hillel and you'd not be mechuyev to go back. But I don't want to tell them that. I do want to go back. So what should I tell these people? If I tell them, listen, I'm terribly sorry to inconvenience you, but I feel I'd like to go back. Really, why? Because I've forgotten to bench. Well, I know exactly how they're going to respond. They're just going to tell me, well, you can bench wherever. Wherever you bench, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is okay. So perhaps, mutav, maybe it would be better da amina lehu that I should tell them, anshoi yoina de davo. Maybe I should tell them that I've forgotten a golden dove. Maybe that will convince them. Omar lehu, so indeed he said to them, do me a favor, anturili, wait for me, da anshoi, because I have forgotten behind the yoina de davo, a golden dove. Of course, this was not true. And really, this was just an excuse to go back to the original location to be able to bench. Ozil, so he went back to Barich, and guess what happened? Va'ashkach yoina de dahavo. And indeed, he found a golden dove.
It's interesting, when Miriam got Saras, everybody waited for her.
Correct.
Not exactly the same thing, but still.
No, yeah, that was Klal Yisrael. Yeah, quite right. So he was very handsomely rewarded. Says the Gemara, by the way, we're just jumping the inyan le'inyan, but why is it, maishna yoina? Why is it dafka the dav de matili knesis yisrael le'yoina? Why is klal yisrael compared to a dav? As it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, kamfe yoina nechba bekesev echrisel beirakrak chorutz. So you see that klal yisrael are compared to the dav. In what way are we similar, comparable to a dove? Says the Gemara, ma yoino, just like the dove, eino nitzeles elo biknofeho. The yoino is protected and saved by its wings. Af Yisrael, eino nitzelin elo b'mitzvus. Our mitzvahs that we perform are our protection. So just like the yoino has its dove, has its wings that protect it, we too have our mitzvahs that protect us. Okay, I think I know we did go a little bit quickly today, but the Gemara is relatively easy. Be'ezus Hashem Yisborach, tomorrow I think we should be able to manage to complete this last passage of the Gemara, and that way finish the Perek and close the Zman in Mitz Hashem.
Okay. What are we doing next?
Yeah, with regard to what we learn next, we'll be in touch.
Okay.
All the best, everybody.